afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Exchange. This is Cheryl Castile. My guest in the studio today, Gary Newman, has been involved in some of, some really innovative bands in the roots music scene here in South Louisiana, from the band Koto, Native Sons, Clickin' Chickens, Trey Tours, which was important for a number of reasons, and one of those being really integral in developing the Tommy Como Endowed Chair for Traditional Music.
I was proud to be in that band.
Yeah, here at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. The Onlys, Rio Luminoso, now sometimes the Cat Hat Biscuit Boys, and now with Stop the Clock Cowboy Jazz Band. And that's not even to mention that he grew up as the son of Jimmy C. Newman.
I'm proud of that also.
So, I mean, quite a history in bands that you have, Gary. Welcome.
Well, I've been around music since I was a little baby boy.
Yeah. When you were born where?
In Ville Platte. Yeah.
And then, just because some people I know are going to want to hear the history about some things with your dad, you were how old when you moved from Louisiana?
I was 6 years old. I'd gone through the first grade in Ville Platte, and then we moved up. I can still remember that move, believe
it
or not.
Huh?
Yeah. I know that we got as far as Baton Rouge, Louisiana, before we had a flat tire in the moving van. We had to stop there, and we moved up to Nashville. We didn't have a place to stay.
Where was your dad's career at that point?
He was becoming a member of the Grand Ole Opry.
Okay, so that's when the move took place.
Okay. Yeah. And before that, you know, he had played around here for a few years and was fortunate enough to have some regional hits.
Yeah.
He was a member of the Louisiana Hayride, which I can remember some of those.
Up
I remember meeting Elvis there.
So, how old do you think you were then, Gary?
Oh, 4 or 5 years old.
Wow.
But it was an experience.
Do you remember as a kid that young having a sense that this was somebody kind of special for whatever reason that was?
Yeah. I don't know if I knew why.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I can remember. It's kind of funny. I have so many stories.
Yeah.
I remember sitting up in the balcony with my mother, and my mom was kind of going crazy too.
because
of Elvis. And I remember him taking his belt off.
She would have been at that age. I mean, she was young.
Yeah, she was young. Yeah, early 20s.
Yeah.
I remember him taking his belt off and throwing it out into the audience at the Louisiana Hayride, and just, you know, everybody went crazy.
Yeah.
So, Dad actually did some shows with Elvis, and we would get Christmas cards from him, and for quite a while we got Christmas cards from him. But I grew up in a special period, and as a young child, I didn't really realize what all was going on. These were just all friends of my dad and my mom.
Yeah, and you knew your dad played music to bring money into the house.
Right.
I mean, you knew that's what he did for a living.
Right,
whether,
exactly.
You wouldn't use the term make a living at that age. But.
Right. Well, you know, I would ride – I can remember going up to Shreveport for the hayride. And my dad's – I don't know. It was maybe a 51, 52, 53 Buick. And mom and dad would be in the front seat. And Rufus Thibodeau, who played with my dad for many, many, many years, was in the back seat. And I can remember on the way back, those cars, in the back of the back seat, there was a little platform back there and the round windows.
Sure.
So Rufus would be sleeping on the seat, and I would be back on the platform sleeping there. And we could still listening to the hayride on the way back from Shreveport to Ville Platte.
So when someone was a member of the Louisiana Hayride back then, your dad, it was like an every weekend deal that he would play, right?
Very, very similar to the Grand Ole Opry.
In fact,
you know, there was a time with the hayride when you had Johnny Cash and Farron Young and Jim Reeves and, of course, Elvis was there. It was a rival to the Grand Ole Opry.
After you folks moved up to the Nashville area, you know, for the Grand Ole Opry, would your dad come back at times and play at at Louisiana Hayride?
I think he came back one or two times after that as a guest.
Yeah.
But there was a rivalry between the Grand Ole Opry and the Louisiana Hayride.
Sure.
So I don't know.
Yeah, what the rules were.
Once you went up to the Opry, you did not
go
back to the Hayride.
Yeah, and so your dad did he do some touring? I mean, all like across the United States during that time before he went up to the Grand Ole Opry.
It was mostly regional.
Okay,
he would tour South Louisiana, of course, and East Texas. Venture into Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, because he had the regional hits.
Sure, sure.
When Cry Cry Darling came out, which was his first big hit, he started to tour, to go up into Nashville and do guest spots. At that time, you could do a guest spot up at the
Did he have a manager at that time, Gary, or was he doing it all his own?
He had friends, Tom Perriman, who is a disc jockey, who was a disc jockey for WSM, was helping him out.
Okay.
And also T. Tommy Cottrell, who was another disc jockey, was helping to promote him.
Okay.
And then actually Bob Neal, who was promoted Elvis, also did some managed him or booked some jobs for him.
Wait, Bob Neal, he's still
– No, Bob
passed
away.
I'm thinking
away.
Of somebody different. Okay,
yeah.
Another Bob Neal. Okay.
Yeah. But we just kind of went up there. You know, he had become a member of the Opry, and you know, to this day, you know, being a member of the Grand Ole Opry in country music is a big deal.
That's right.
So back in the 50s, it was like you had made it
when you had
joined the Opry.
And what did that all entail? You know, when you became a member of the Grand Ole Opry,
you were at In those days, you had to commit yourself to perform, I think, at least 26 Saturdays. So half of the year, you had to be on the Opry.
Yeah.
It's not like that anymore.
Yeah.
But so you were committed to do that radio show. Of course, it was, you know, it was a great springboard for your career, because once you were a Grand Ole Opry member, you got a lot of gigs.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So it was... a great time, you know, hanging out. And again, I'm still a kid now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and going to John and Cash and June Carter's house for parties and
but not really, really getting what a big deal that was.
Yeah, they're just, you know, it's just like all of us, you know, oh, yeah, those are, you know,
friends of mom and dad.
You know, yeah. George Jones, George would come over and he loved my mother's sauce pecan.
Yeah.
Chicken sauce pecan. So he would come over, and he and I both liked a chicken gizzard.
Yeah.
And we would fight over the I remember he said the first time he came over and he said, "Well, I hope no one likes the gizzard here." And I said, "I do." To this day, well, not anymore, but we always joked about it when we got around each other.
Would they all play music when they would get together?
Dad would play. He was writing songs, and he would write. He and George were good friends. They would get together every now and then, and sometimes they would collaborate with different people. Where I really got into it was when I went to work for Tom T. Hall after college, is when he would have friends over to his house, Roger Miller, Harlan Howard, all these guys, Johnny Cash, they're all sitting around. He would call them a guitar string pull. And what they would do is they would each pass a guitar around, you know, and everyone would be in, you know, would have a few adult beverages and sitting around.
And did you say guitar string pull?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a cool name. Okay.
Yeah. So they were, you know, everybody was playing their songs. Well, you know, I just wrote this song, you know.
Yeah.
King of the Road.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was I've been blessed by being around such talented people, and I still am, because you know, down here there are a lot
that's
of
right.
talented people.
Well, how old were you when an instrument came into your life?
You know, high school. You know,
what was your first instrument?
bass.
Oh, it was? Yeah. Okay.
Typical teenager growing up in the mid-60s, I listened to the Beatles, yeah, the Rolling Stones, all those bands, a lot of Motown, just whatever was popular.
Yeah.
For young kids during, sure, the day. Again, the country music thing was just friends of my dad, you know.
Yeah.
No big deal. You know, that's just my dad, mom and dad's friends. Yeah, I started playing in high school.
Was it electric bass that you were playing?
Yeah, I was playing. Okay. I had an old red 1964 Vox.
You still? No.
No, I wish I did.
Yeah, I bet.
But it was great, you know.
Was it in a school band?
No, it was just a bunch of guys.
Get together? Okay.
Yeah. I'm not formally trained or anything. I had a few lessons back in, when I was in high school. But
sure.
But then I went to college, you know.
Where'd you go to college at, Gary?
Middle Tennessee State.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So.
Is that in Murfrees?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if that's where Tony Daigle.
Yes.
Right? That's,
yes,
where Tony went,
yeah,
to school.
Yeah, they have a great music school as far as the business of music, engineering and publishing. They have a great school there.
Yeah.
They're almost as good as
University of Louisiana. There, yeah, you go. What did you go to school for?
History and social sciences.
Ah,
I should be,
okay,
a school teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
Not enough money.
Yeah, there you go.
So anyway, it was great growing around music.
Did you play music when you were in college?
No.
Oh, you let it go, huh?
I let it go. This is back in the late 60s and early – I graduated in 71. So the object of a lot of my friends and myself was to stay out of Vietnam.
Sure. Yeah.
So to do that, you had to stay in college.
Yeah.
So it took all of my time to devote to studies and make sure that I stayed in school.
Yeah. And then where'd you go after college?
Well, after college, my first job was with Tom T. Hall.
So then you got in working in music, or were you
in the music business, okay, kind of thing. And right around 71 is when Dad had Las Palapatas.
Okay.
So I was working for Tom T. And every
playing bass?
No. And I was working for Hall Note Music, his publishing company.
Yeah. So you were doing the business part of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And that was quite an experience, just traveling around with Tom.
How'd that come about for you?
Well, again, Dad had a publishing company at the time, back in the 60s.
Okay.
And
what was it called?
New Keys.
Ah, okay.
New Keys Music. And he was playing music, and in those days, a lot of the artists that were on the Opry, they were single acts. And they would have a pickup band. They'd go and play wherever. And a pickup band would learn their music and do, you know, back them up. Well, Dad was up in I believe, in Kentucky or West Virginia somewhere. And he had a pickup band. And the lead guitar player for the pickup band was Tom T. Hall.
Hmm.
And and Tom started singing some of his songs to Dad, and Dad said, "You've got quite a talent here."
Wow.
So Dad invited Tom to Nashville and to be a songwriter, first a songwriter for New Keys Publishing Company. And then Tom started recording his own tunes, and you know, now he's in the Country Music Hall of Fame.
That's right.
So whenever, I guess it was a favor that he did for Dad, because like I said, I should have been a school teacher, but I was starting to get involved in music a little bit more, and I wanted to be see what I could do in the music business. So he hired me to run his publishing company, and it was a great time. Tom is such a wonderful man, a wise man, and we would go out to the West Coast to do the Dean Martin show, and we'd fly out there.
The television show that he had at that time.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool.
I have a funny story about that show, and we were out there. Dean would do these theme shows with This one happened to be about country music, and he had Tom and Minnie Pearl and Loretta Lynn all on the same show. And there was a scene that required – it was a duet with Dean Martin and Loretta Lynn. And the script read that Loretta was – it's a barnyard scene, and Dean was going to sit down on a hay bale, and Loretta was going to sit on his lap, and they were going to sing a duet together. Well, when the rehearsal came around and Loretta found out what she had to do, she said, "No, I'm not sitting on any man's lap except my husband's lap."
Wow.
So they had to change the whole thing around. But it was a great time
Think of all the stuff you saw. And people you met.
I can remember most of it.
Yeah.
But it was a great time.
And so you were with Tom T. Hall at during the time when he really broke.
Yeah. He had already had he was pretty big.
Yeah.
But I'd sit there. I'm so blessed. I watched him write one of his hits, "I Love," and he's kind of, we were all sitting around again with a guitar string pull.
Yeah.
And he started naming all the things that he loved and all that. And he said, "I'm going to write a song about this."
Wow.
And then a few years later, when Rufus was working for Neil Young, I was hanging out with those guys, and I watched Neil Young write "Comes a Time."
Oh, wow.
We're all at the hotel room and, just hanging out with them. And it was just watching these.
Kind of surreal, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, really, when you think back to
Yeah. I could write a book.
Yeah, that's right. So while you were doing that, what was your dad doing at that time?
Well, Dad was touring around, and again,
so
let's get back to that. Lash Palapatat had come out, and it became a huge hit in Canada,
mm-hmm.
and down here too, locally. So I was playing bass with Dad also. It was Rufus and myself and Dad going around. And, we would have a pickup band. We'd get
so was
drama.
This at the same time you were working with Tom T. Hall? Or that
yeah,
was,
yeah.
Okay, so you
same,
could do
same
both.
Same time,
okay.
Right. So we'd go out and do a gig and have the pickup band. And, we were starting to do some gigs down here. And I remember coming to Lafayette, and I told Rufus and my dad, I said, "I really like Lafayette,
Yeah, because you didn't know Lafayette.
I was always in Villeplatte.
Yeah. All right, but then you grew up most of your life, though, up in
– Right, yeah,
Nashville.
When we would come down – and we would come down to visit for the holidays,
aunts
and uncles. And so I would always go to Villeplatte or Lake Charles.
Sure.
We had relatives in Lake Charles also, but never Lafayette. Well, we started doing some gigs in Lafayette, and it's a college town. And
what
right
places out. Were here then that your dad was playing at?
There were concerts.
Okay.
I think the first Festival Tocadienne.
Okay, so all right.
I think possibly Boo Boo's.
Where was that?
On the Brobridge Highway.
Okay.
Between Lafayette and Brobridge.
Okay.
And maybe a few other places. But I remember saying how much I liked Lafayette.
Mm.
It was just something about it,
Mm-hmm.
It was the young people.
Sure.
And it was the young people that were into music and into their culture, which I thought was fascinating because if you go outside of this area, there's a few pockets, around Miami with the Cubans and all that, and maybe Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Yeah, with the Norwegian, it's very where I grew up. Yeah.
Right. But down here, it was like a tribe, a tight-knit group of people who loved their culture and wanted to hang on to it. And you'd go – I'd go to dances and, there was – all ages were there, young, old, black, white. Everyone was together having a good time. I said, this is a special place.
Mm.
So I started thinking, I want to live down there.
Mm.
So I just kind of said, I'm going to go. I'm giving up this whole lifestyle that I was in, which was I was blessed again, and moved to Lafayette, and just I came down here. When was it? In 72, 73. And before that, I had an album, Blackie Forestay album, and on it was the tune Sugar Bee.
Yeah.
And I said, man, I really like the way this is. So I was playing to some of my buddies up in Tennessee, college buddies,
yeah,
who liked music. And they'd never heard anything like that before. And I said, listen to this. Tell me. I said, man, I really like that. You know, I said, well, do you think a lot of young people would like this style of music? And I said, I don't see why not. I mean, this is, you know, it's a lot like blues. And,
sure.
You know, it's just something completely different. And right about that same time was when the kind of the Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, and the cowboy, cosmic cowboy kind of thing was
sure.
going on. So I said, well, you know, I've got a wild hair. I'm going to move to Lafayette and see if I can get a band, a Cajun band that plays this kind of music, but with like twin guitars, like the Allman Brothers
sure,
and all that.
Sure, sure.
And try to get something that kind of rocked a little bit, and maybe, you know, the young people will like it. And lo and behold, came down here, and my dad knew Carol Reshu, who owned La Louisiane Records. Las Palapatas was on that label. So came over
that's
here.
That's David's?
Yeah, David's.
That's his dad,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the only person that that we knew was Bessel Duyon.
Sure.
And so I went to Bessel, and I moved in with Bessel and Shirley for a little while. Got a day gig at the Vermilion Landing as a waiter.
Yeah.
And started putting this band together, and got fortunate enough. I've been lucky. I've been very, very lucky in my career. Fortunate enough to get Bruce McDonald and Michael Doucet and Bessel Duyon, Dana Bro, Kenneth Blevins, Danny Kimball, good players together. And we formed this band, Koto, and it took off. And, you know, ever since then, it's I moved back after I take that back. When Koto split up, I think we had about a 3 or 4 year run, I moved back up to Nashville, and Bessel came with us, and we formed my dad's band, Cajun Country, and we did that for 4 or 5 years. But I always missed the day I moved back up to Nashville. I said, "Look, I'm only up here temporarily.
I'm going back." Yeah.
And 4 years later, I came back, and I met Sharon, my wife, and she had two small children. So I said, "Well, I'm going to move back, but I'm going to have to get out of music because I've got some responsibility now."
Sure.
And so I did that and worked to different jobs around here. And then just, I guess, well, it seems like yesterday, but it's probably 20 years ago, I started playing music again.
Well, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to listen to – we're going to go back to the beginning, and we're going to listen to a song from your dad.
Yeah.
Mr. Jimmy C. Newman. And this cut we're going to listen to that you brought in today is the H. Brown Shuffle.
Yeah, this has an interesting story. Dad was starting out in his career, and it's a swing tune, and needed money to record an album, a record. And he went to the owner, I guess Mr. Brown, H. Brown, Auto Supply House in Eunice, and asked for the money. And the guy said, yeah, you can have some money, but you need to do a commercial or something. So here comes H. Brown Shuffle.
And that's how the song came about.
Yeah.
Very cool. Jimmy C. Newman, the H. Brown Shuffle.
On Highway 190 in Eunice, they lay there, the place that might drive your troubles away to the H. Brown Shuffle.
Shuffle,
swinging and the shuffle, all they do it all night and day. If your motor runs slow and your gas tank's low, just drop by and we'll put it on high with the H-bound shuffle. 8 pound shuffle,
8 pound shuffle,
swinging and the shuffle, all they do it all night and day.
That was Jimmy C. Newman and the H. Brown Shuffle, and this is The Exchange on KRVS 88.7 FM, or on the web at krvs.org, a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, and a shout-out to all the Lake Charles folks, too. Thank you to everyone who supported us during our recent fundraiser. We really appreciate the support and people who renewed their membership and those of you who became new members, and it's still not too late. We do have a safe, secure website that you can go to at any time to help support KRVS. And as I learned from Cecil last week, besides the national programming, we have over 30 locally produced programs, which is really a big deal. So thanks to everyone who helped us out. My guest today in the studio, musician Gary Newman, we've been talking about his history with his father, Mr. Jimmy C. Newman, and Gary's involvement in the music business. When we left to listen to that song, we were talking about, and this is what I find interesting. So you move here to Lafayette. I mean, you had visited, but you hadn't lived here.
Right.
And I didn't grow up here, but when I listen to my husband or a number of people who are very much involved in music, they really talked about how that band was that was a big deal for them at that point.
Koto?
Oh, yeah. And what Koto did for who they were at that age and what it represented to them.
I think so. You know, Zachary was around and doing a great job, but he was – I say he was around. He was up in Canada quite a bit. But also kind of doing at the time, they kind of had a term calling it the Renaissance.
Yeah, exactly.
And what I'm most proud about is that it's still going on.
Yeah,
you know, the band, the young kids today.
That's right.
The Lost Bayou Ramblers, Fofolé, those young kids. You know, I see that, and, you know, I just flash back to when I was their age doing the same thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And it makes me feel good that it's still going on.
You know what I find interesting, though, Gary, is that you not having, you know, been living here, you know, you didn't grow up, you know, you
but
did.
But, you know, I had the connection.
No, I know you had the connection, but that you came in at that time and you just had that vision of what would be an important piece in the music scene at that time.
Well,
That's a really, I mean, that fascinates me.
Well,
you know?
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's just a wild hair that I had.
Yeah.
But I guess sometimes things work out. You know, people get ideas and they go through with it.
How long was Koto? How long was that band
about
together?
We had about a 4-year run.
Okay.
And it was great. You know,
yeah.
Toured around the country and.
And people had other side things and stuff they'd still
yeah,
do too.
Well, just
yeah.
Much like again today.
Yeah.
You know, the people were playing in different bands and all that, and you know, I guess. People, one of the major reasons I think that the Koto split up was people wanted to go in different directions.
Mm-hmm.
There was Michael and Bessel, and then wanted to go into the more rootsy kind of acoustic version.
Sure.
Which they've done great in.
Yeah.
And then some of the other guys wanted to venture out into more of the electric side of, you know, blues and things like that. That's fine. Everybody's had a good life.
You know? Well, was that the time for you where you really got back into playing music?
Yes.
Right?
Right after. Koto was before I got married and was raising a family.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I started playing music after college. I started playing music again.
Okay.
And it was another great time, you know, and very innovative. Koto would take songs, do cover tunes, much like the Clickin' Chickens did with Bluegrass.
Yeah.
We would do cover tunes and kind of do them Cajun style or you know, throw something different out there.
Sure, yeah,
just
yeah.
To, just
give
to
it
do
your
it.
Spin. That's
yeah,
right.
You know, throw it against the wall and see if it'll stick.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. So. When Koto then people went their separate way, where did you go musically?
Went back to Nashville and played with my dad and started his band. And then again, wanted to move back down here. And once I moved down here.
And that's the time where you met your wife?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But during the Koto days, and I've always kind of to get back into swing what we're doing here, I've always been influenced by swing music. The first track that we played, my dad's Eighth Round Shuffle, is kind of a swing tune. Rufus was my brother, practically.
Yeah.
You know, and he was heavily into, in fact, he played with Bob Wills for quite a while, a few years. So I was always had swing music around. And growing up in Ville Platte, even when I was a little kid, still living in Ville Platte, my aunt loved to dance. And I can remember, and maybe Blake might have told you, I know that Mr. Hadley remembers the times that the big bands would come through here.
That's right.
From New Orleans to Houston, they would always stop in either Opelousas at the Southern Club, I believe, or in Ville Platte at the Evangeline Club. So there was always on the radio or on the record player, there was always a big band swing tune mm-hmm. going on, along with the country, you know, Hank Williams and all that. But I was always influenced. And Koto did perform some swing tunes. Twin Guitar Boogie is a great swing tune.
Were you playing upright at that time?
No,
I was playing
electric
bass,
right?
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
And we would, if you can remember the days of Jay's Lounge and Boo Boo.
I only know the stories.
Well, it's
probably but a lot of people out there listening. Yeah, because I still have the memories.
Yeah.
No, but there's a lot of people who've got such
Koto
great memories.
Koto and then the Red Beans and Rice Review, those bands, there were still some bands doing some swing dance tunes.
Yeah.
And we would open up for the Sleep at the Wheel at Jay's or at Boo Boo's or Commander Cody. And, you know, again, this is a dance town or dance region. So we would pack the place playing dance music, both Cajun and swing. So I've always liked swing.
Yeah.
And recently, well, I say recently, it's been, heck, I guess maybe 10 years ago, I started visiting Dad. And Dad's fiddle player after Rufus passed away is Kenny Sears. And Kenny started, I'm jumping ahead here.
Yeah, no, that's all right.
Kenny started a jam band up in Nashville called the Time Jumpers, and they would play every Monday night at the Station Inn, a great acoustic club, a lot of bluegrass there. But if you know a bluegrass or acoustic music, you've heard of the Station Inn in Nashville, yeah. That and the Bluebird.
Yeah.
Anyway, they would start playing swing music again. And I started, once again, my brain started clicking here. And I thought, man, this would be a great in Lafayette, this style of music, because up there, they're just listening, you know, yeah. Sitting down listening. Of course, the band now is all A-list studio. Vince Gill is one of the guitar players in the band.
Yeah.
So everyone's there.
That tells you right
and
there.
I'm doing the same thing. I go there and I'm listening and watching the band. They're not dancing. I said, well, this would be kind of cool to have a band like this, another swing band, which we haven't had in this area in quite a while. Now, I say that, but, you know, Red Stick Ramblers,
yeah.
Nouveau String Band,
yeah.
Those are great, great bands. I'm a big fan of and Joel's out now has started the Honky Tonk Merry-Go-Round.
That's right.
Wonderful, wonderful musicians, bands,
yeah.
Great, great thing. Well, I wanted to kind of start a couple of years ago, I started thinking, well, actually longer than that, I was saying, well, I'd like to do something like that in Lafayette, kicking it around with different people.
What was it about that style of music that grabs you? You know, like when you watched the Time Jumpers.
Well,
you know,
first
what
of all,
is
the musicianship.
Okay, yeah.
Absolutely that.
You know, and, more so than other styles of music, you know?
Yeah.
What is it that's grabbing you about that?
The quality, how clean they are when they play, and you can see that the musicians are having a good time.
Okay,
and it's sure they're playing the same songs probably over and over again every week, but they're. You know, they're doing it different each week. But they're enjoying themselves and having fun. And that's what I like about the Stop the Clock Cowboy Jazz Band is all of us are having a good time doing this. And we want to make sure that the audience or the dancers that are out on the dance floor are also having – if you're not having a good time listening to our band, then we're not doing our
job.
That's
right. Well, before we move in and talk about the new band that you're with, Stop the Clock, let's listen to a tune from the Time Jumpers that you brought in. And the tune that you brought in is Smile.
Yeah. Now, this is the old Charlie Chaplin tune. And Dawn is singing. Dawn Sears, Kenny's wife, is singing it, and it's just it give you an idea of the musicianship and the quality of what those guys are doing. Again, these guys are top-notch studio musicians, and they do a wonderful job on this. We play this tune also. Kelly Feehan sings this song, and she does a great job also, but. It's jazz. It's cowboy jazz.
Yeah. Where did that tune, phrase come from?
It's been around for a while,
yeah.
I think. You know, Western swing is even since the Bob Wills and the Spade Cooley days back in the 40s, it was jazz.
Okay.
I picked it up from Kenny Sears and I were talking backstage and we were talking about it. Well, this is jazz. And he said, yeah, this is cowboy jazz. I said, well, okay, I'll remember that.
Okay. Very cool. Well, we're going to listen to Smile by the Time Jumpers and a tune that once again got Gary Newman's brain clicking for another creative endeavor.
Smile, though your heart is aching. Smile, even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky you get by. If you smile through your tears and sorrow, smile and maybe tomorrow you'll see the sun come shining through. With gladness and hide every trace of sadness, although a tear it may be ever so near, 'cause that's the time you must keep on trying. Smile, what's the use in crying? You'll see that life, oh, it's still worthwhile if you just smile. Sky, you'll get by if you smile through your tears and sorrow. Smile, and maybe tomorrow you'll see the sun come shining through for you. Hey, light up your face with gladness, hide every trace of sadness, although a tear maybe ever so near. That's the time you must keep on trying. Smile, what's the use in crying? You'll see that life is still worthwhile if you'll just smile. I mean it.
Thank you.
Gone.
All right. That was the Time Jumpers and Smile. My guest in the studio today, musician Gary Newman. We're talking about where the idea came for him for his next creative endeavor, Stop the Clock. That's a group, huh, that we just heard?
Yeah. Boy, yeah, they're pretty good players there.
Dawn Sears. That's a beautiful voice.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
Oh, Lord.
Should have been a much bigger star than what she is. She's still great. She's
yeah.
just fantastic. I highly recommend looking up her music on the internet, Dawn
yeah.
Sears.
Okay.
Wonderful voice.
So you started thinking about, gosh, I want to do a band like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and I started talking to people in the area, musician friends. Yeah. And again, we're so blessed that we have so many here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's really unique, really.
Oh, it is. You know? It is. It's incredible. And it's always been that way ever since, I don't know, since the 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
There's always been a lot of good musicians that come out of South Louisiana. So I started about a year ago really, you know, starting to pursue this project. Okay, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So I'd been talking to Buck, John Buck Buckaloo, who plays yeah. with the New Full String Band, about it, and he said, yeah, I'd like to be a part of it. Talked to Kenny Menard, I've been knowing Kenny for quite a while. He's a country music singer in the area. He he back in the 70s, he had a band called COD, I believe it was, and great singer.
Yeah.
And I said, well, okay, I've got a fiddle player. I've got a guy who can sing, because I can't sing very well. But I want to get a big band.
Sure.
So I was fortunate enough to talk to Sam Broussard about it.
Yeah.
And Sam said, yeah, man, yeah, you know, I'd love to do something like that. So word got out, and I was looking for a piano player, and I was talking to some of the piano players around town, and some people, David Egan, said, you should call Kurt, you know, Kurt Boudreau. And he might be interested in it. And I called Kurt, and much to my surprise, because Kurt's a great jazz player.
Oh, yeah, he's really.
And I wanted a jazz, you know, again, this is cowboy jazz.
Yeah. I first met him through theater.
Oh, you did?
He got involved in musical theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how I got to know him.
Great guy. A good heart.
Yeah.
Really. All these people that I'm so blessed that I got all these great musicians. So I talked to Kurt, and he said, yeah, I'd love to do it. I'd be happy to do it.
Yeah.
Also talked to David Greeley, you know, through the years about – I knew that he liked Western
swing.
That's
right, yeah.
And he said, yeah, whenever you put it together, just give me a call. So I started calling these people, and then, you know, Kurt said, you know, I talked to Charlene Howard, and Charlene would like to be involved in this. And I said, Charlene Howard? I said, she's fantastic. You got to be kidding. She said, no, she really wants to do it. So I called Charlene, and she said, yeah, I'd love to be a part of something like that. So it was like all of a sudden I had some of the finest musicians in the area that wanted to be a part of this. So we started practicing, getting together.
So do you have – it's 11 people in the band?
It's 11. Let me go through the list.
Did you plan that at the beginning? Did you think it was going to be that big?
Kind of,
yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, I wanted to have a big sound because the Time Jumpers are 9 or 10 of them, you know.
Yeah.
Triple fiddles and twin guitars, steel guitar. So I got Charlene and then Kelly Feehan. Kelly is Kenny's daughter.
Okay.
And she's fairly new as far as singing in a band.
Yeah.
She sings in church and all that, but she has a wonderful, wonderful voice and loves the old style.
That's how so many singers started out, was in church.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. And then Buck was on board. David Greeley was on board. Sam Broussard was on board. Then I went to Bud Chandler's funeral, bless his heart.
Yeah.
When Bud passed away, I was at the wake, and Gary Granger was there. Now, Gary's another fantastic jazz player.
He's kind of scary talented.
And I was talking to him about it. He said, I'd like to be involved in that.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, my gosh, what have I done right?
Yeah.
I'm getting all these players. So Gary's on board. Then Joe Rogers is a fantastic steel guitar player. Uh-huh. He came on board. And Kenny, Kurt, Wayne LeBlanc is a great drummer who played with Bobby and the Rockers. And I wanted a solid backbeat, somebody who could really, you know, play solid.
Yeah.
And he loves jazz. So I got him, and all of a sudden we're now.
And then, oh, my God, Gary Newman on bass.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know, we need to throw
that
in there.
I'm the weakest one of the bunch.
Oh, Lord, Gary.
But anyway, we started getting together. And, of course, getting 11 people together for a rehearsal is a challenge. But we got, you know, we'd get like 8 of us would show up for a rehearsal. And then the next rehearsal would be another 8, but a different 8, you know. And we would just kind of get it all together. So we wanted to have fun playing music that we enjoyed.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened, you know.
Well, can we listen? You brought some cuts in.
Well,
I mean, there's some rough
cuts
that you've been working on.
Yeah, but these are the very, very rough rehearsal cuts. Joe brought a couple of mics in the middle of the room, and these are actually just kind of work CDs or cuts that, you know, okay, we're going to cut this. This is the arrangement. Go home and refine it. You know?
Exactly.
But once we cut it, we said, well, you know, it sounds pretty good. So, the first one that we'll do is Honeysuckle Rose, the old Fats Waller tune. Kelly singing it. And again, it's not all of us are there. There's Kirk wasn't there. David wasn't there. I don't think Sam was. So like there's only eight of us. But you get an idea of what
sure.
we do.
And keep in mind, we'll talk about it before we wrap up today too, but they are playing the first Sunday of each month at the Feed and Seed.
Yeah, this coming Sunday. We want to mention that.
Yeah, yeah.
At the Feed and Seed this Sunday from 6 to 9. And it's open to the public. You know, if you're worried about getting a babysitter, don't worry about it. Bring the kids
That's
over,
right.
you know,
kind of
like the old fade o'dos. Everybody show up and let's dance and have a good time.
That's right. So, Honeysuckle Rose.
Ready?
Feels like
All right, Honeysuckle Rose, that is Stop the Clock Cowboy Jazz Band with my guest in the studio today, Gary Newman. And we are getting close to the end here, Gary. Aww. So we're going to do a couple wrap-up things, get people to go see you, and we're going to go out on a tune. Very nice.
Thank you.
Very,
it's been
very
a pleasure
nice.
To be here, Cheryl. I mean,
oh, yeah,
just to
I'm
be
so
on
glad.
KRVS. Which,
it's such a cool
which,
station. Yeah.
The best on the planet.
Yes.
By far.
Yes, it really is. Now, you're doing these we've got just about a little over a minute here. Gigs at the Feed and Seed.
Yeah, the first Sunday of every month, we're there. Like I said, from 6 to 9.
That's a good time, too.
Yeah, after the Saints game, you know, and you've had your barbecue. And
it's not too late. At my age, I want to say that.
Exactly. So we invite everyone to come out. It's a lot of fun. If you like to dance, any style of dance, especially swing, come on out. It's a great dance floor. The weather's nice and cool. Don't forget about the time change this Sunday.
Was that this weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. Oh.
Yeah, so you don't want to show up an hour early.
That's
well,
right.
Maybe you do.
Yeah, you might want to hang out and.
But it's a great time. And then, you know, the concept of this band real quickly is if there's any other, you know, musicians out there that like to enjoy playing this style of music, we're open to come on up and join us. You know,
yeah, that's nice.
We want everybody to have a good time with this.
Yeah, yeah. So and I'm going to say, too, like them on Facebook. They are on there, and you can keep up to what the band's doing. That's Stop the Clock Jazz Band. Gary Newman, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's
been a pleasure.
Everybody get out there this Sunday to the Feed and Seed from 6 to 9. We're going to go out with the track Sugar Moon. This is John Buckaloo on vocals.
Yep. A great tune written by Cindy Walker.
She's all right.
Great song. Right?
Everybody have a good week.
Down, scratches a circle around.